right, Miss Metalhead over there.
Yeah, I was just testing out my horns because we have Five Finger Death Punch coming up. And, you know, I got to go in this terrible cast. So I think it'll work.
When is that show?
I think it's this Friday.
This Friday night?
Let me check my calendar, and I'll confirm.
We don't care that much.
You do care, because I'm talking about it. It's the 14th.
The 14th. All right. So you've got another week.
Yeah.
Next Friday.
So hopefully my hand is a little bit better then.
Yes.
You'll be ready for it.
Okay. But where I was going with this, Name the Closer, that song became iconic with. He's going to be a Hall of Fame closer for the New York Yankees.
Oh, I wasn't he a Rocky before? Because
no.
I feel like I've heard this at a Rockies game.
Well, I'm sure you've probably heard. It's Mariano Rivera.
Okay.
Just so you know. Okay, there you go.
I didn't know the answer to that question.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
Angel, tell me you knew that. What?
No.
It's because...
Oh, my God.
It's because Brian doesn't care about Metallica.
I liked and appreciated Metallica when they were first getting going, and then I kind of got lost because they were too mad.
Too mad, too angry.
Yeah.
Brian just tried to. He went to Metallica concerts to give everybody hugs.
Yeah,
he's just hugging everybody.
You know, I got into that, you know, let your love flow, Bellamy Brothers thing. And I try to go to a Metallica show and got the hell beat out of me. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Javo with Bruno Lilly Legal joining us for our Ask a Lawyer segment. We've got some pre-canned stuff that we're going to talk about here. But if you have questions that you'd like to shoot our way as well, the J9 Agency's text line is open, 888-530-0000. Or you can call us at 970-353-1310. Angel will scan your call, and we can get you on the air to ask Kavala these questions as well. Let's talk about the Steve Pankey trial that's going on right now.
Sure.
Obviously, the murder of Janelle Matthews back in 1984. This was in all of the major news circles last year when the first trial started, that was deemed a mistrial. Now, can you refresh my memory as to why that was deemed a mistrial?
So the jury couldn't come to a decision on whether or not he was guilty or not guilty. So once the jury becomes deadlocked, there's a special instruction that goes back to them that basically says, try again, make sure you're really deadlocked. And then if they come back to the judge and say, we can't make a decision, so many of us think not guilty, so many of us think guilty, and we're just not going to change our minds, the court has no choice but then to declare a mistrial and then reschedule it for a new trial.
What's the difference between that and a hung jury? Is it
the same
thing, just a different term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same.
So the second trial is getting ready to get underway, but there's been some issues. Adding a mistrial into trying to convict somebody of murder, doesn't that decrease the odds of getting that conviction by quite a bit?
Well, I think... You know, anytime there's a mistrial because the jury can't come to a decision, I think, Brian, what you were asking about mistrials, you can have a mistrial for a variety of reasons, but a hung jury is one of the reasons you can have a mistrial.
Okay.
So whenever you have that, everybody kind of has to go back and double check and say, okay, what are we missing, right? The prosecutor needs to go and look and see what is it that – why couldn't we prove it to these individual jurors? Why were they stuck on not guilty? What do we need to do to fix our end of the case? The defense then is sort of at a disadvantage because they've already disclosed their entire defense, whereas going into trial, the defense doesn't have to do that. So now the cat's out of the bag. And it's even more so with Pankey because he testified. So they are absolutely locked into one story that they can't get out of.
That's interesting. And now I know when you talk about this mistrial coming up, I know that the prosecutors were trying to use stuff from the other trial, from the first trial, to get replaced back into this one. Is that common? Does that normally happen, that you take bits and pieces, or do they normally crumple all that up and throw it out?
Generally, there will be some litigation, mostly coming from the defense, saying, look, you know, here are the things that played out in the first trial that the court allowed that we think was improper in the end. And so they probably went back to the judge and said, we don't want you to allow the prosecution to put on this evidence again. And they had some argument about that. But generally speaking, there's kind of two different areas of law, and one is called the law of the case. And what that means is, as you're litigating the case before you get to trial, as the judge makes the rulings, that becomes the law of the case. That doesn't necessarily change between trial one and trial two. because the judge has already decided what evidence can and can't come in. So that is sort of the framework that you're allowed to present evidence in.
So, and I should say too, I'm assuming that a lot of people know what the Steve Pankey trial is, but I should give some background here. There was it's for the kidnapping and murdering of a 12-year-old Janelle Matthews back in 1984. Steve Pankey went on to run for governor at some point as well, not here in the state of Colorado, but went on to run for governor. They found some new evidence, and that's why they're trying to come back to this. But it seems to me this case could very well be won or lost on jury selection.
Yeah, always. I mean, that's sort of my mantra. Like, you either make it or you don't in jury selection. Because if you accidentally let somebody sit on that jury that you didn't screen thoroughly, that has an ulterior motive, that could tank your case one way or another. And that could be true for the prosecution or the defense. Somebody could come in and say, no matter what, I'm going to find him not guilty because that's just sort of how I feel. But I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit here and listen to everybody. And you don't talk to that person. You've got an issue.
Yeah, and they were trying to get this moved out of Greeley. Is that correct?
So what happened with Mr. Pankey is he had one attorney that represented him through the first trial. That attorney withdrew, and he's got two different attorneys that are representing him through the second trial. The two new attorneys reviewed everything and said, look, we don't think that we can get a fair jury in Greeley because of all the notoriety surrounding this and based off of what happened in trial number one. So we want this to get moved to a different venue or like something like Adams County, Larimer, Boulder, just not in Greeley, not in Weld County. The judge basically said in that instance, look, let's see what happens during jury selection and we'll readdress it before we finally swear in the panel.
Very. Will this be the end all of this case, this go around?
I mean, this could unfortunately potentially happen forever. If they keep getting mistrials, then the prosecution has the opportunity to
there's
keep
no
trying
limit to
the case. Yeah. And, you know, there's one case that kind of is notorious for this sort of issue, only this guy kind of got convicted a couple of times and then it got remanded on appeal, and that's the Curtis Flowers case. I don't know if you've ever heard about that, but that's a case in a different state. He kept getting convicted, and then the Supreme Court of that state kept overturning the conviction because there were lots of issues with specifically jury selection and racial biases. So he kept like 30 years of them retrying this guy before they finally decided to dismiss it against him.
Well, and it's just, this is a very intriguing case. And one of the details here that they're trying to figure out whether they should keep in or not is including how much detail about Pankey's arrest. The day that he was arrested, the day before Janelle's disappearance, Pankey refused to leave a credit union. They refused to cash his checks, saying that he wanted to be arrested. That seems like a very major thing that can be argued inside of the courtroom. But this is going to be, you know, this is going to be interesting to see what the judge allows and what they don't allow from the first trial.
Yeah, but I also think that the attorneys have very clear direction on what is going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed.
So when does this get underway? Is it soon?
They're in jury selection right now.
Oh, they are.
They are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They started on Tuesday because Monday was a holiday.
And this could be, could this be a lengthy trial, or do these tend to move along? When we're talking a second trial and, you know, the second time this goes around, can we be in for a lengthy process here, or what are your feelings on it, Havala?
I believe that they cleared 6 weeks like they did the first time around. So when I looked at the judge's schedule for this trial, I believe he had blocked out 6 weeks.
Okay.
So it potentially could move faster. Again, the kind of the benefit with having the first trial is everybody orders the transcripts. Everybody knows what everybody said the first time around. There's not going to be too many surprises. So they should have a pretty tight schedule this time.
Who benefits more if they use stuff from the first trial? Does the defense?
Well, no, because, again, the defense has a strategic advantage going into the first trial of not exposing their hand of what their defense is.
Mm.
The second time around, they've exposed their hand. The prosecution now knows, okay, they're going to argue X, Y, Z, and we got to go tighten that up in our investigation. So they've spent this entire time figuring out how to combat against that argument. So they don't have the element of surprise anymore. And then that's even more complicated by the fact that Steven actually took the stand. So now that he's taken the stand, like, he's locked in. He's either not going to take the stand this time because they don't want to run the risk of them impeaching him with his prior trial testimony, or he's going to take the stand and he better be consistent with what he said previously, or there's going to be some serious problems.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about
that. No, it is. And I've always wondered, if they get back up the second time and they say things and it's different than the first time and they find out that it was incorrect the first, can they be held for perjury on that too?
Technically, they could. That's very uncommon. You don't see that happen. What you normally see happen is just the when they don't have a consistent statement between statement one and statement two, is there's going to be a lot of hoopla around that. The attorneys are going to make sure that the jury focuses on that.
Right.
And there's some prohibitions in Colorado. So attorneys cannot tell a jury that somebody's lying. That's a forbidden word. But you're going to say everything around the word lie.
There were inconsistencies or didn't match. Or...
It's an untruth. Like, that's kind of a fun one that we like to mm-hmm. use. But they can't say lie, but they're going to do everything that they can to say lie without saying the word.
This is going to be very, very interesting to have this play out.
We're talking with Havala with Bruno Lilly Legal. And, you know, talking about that as well, will the prosecution, will they have the testimony that Pankey gave the first time around? Will that be sitting right in front of them?
Yeah.
And I would imagine one of them would go word for word as he gets back, if he does get back on the stand. Now, I would imagine that the defense is going to say, no, you're not taking the stand again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's also a double-edged sword because, you know, I assume that attorney number one went and talked to the jury and kind of got in their heads to figure out what their thought process was and conveyed that information to the second two attorneys. And maybe it was Pankey's testimony that led them to the hung jury, and they know that, and they're like, all right, we need you to study your testimony and make sure you don't deviate from it, because you're going to go on the stand again.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a high-stakes battle that's got national attention behind it as well. So we appreciate you breaking it all down, Hummel.
Yeah, that was very, very interesting. I really do appreciate that, because my wife and I have been following this big time, and I'm very intrigued by this going down again and wanting to see how it plays out.
No, you're the best. We appreciate it. Final thoughts from you today.
Yeah, don't talk to the cops. I mean, Stephen Pankey decided to talk to the cops at some point, and that's being used against him now. So don't do that. And if you're charged with a crime, give me a call, 720-340-1373, for a free consult. And, of course, you can find me on my website, brunolillylegal.com.
Also, just don't commit crimes.
That would be the best thing to do. Yeah,
right.
I'll go with that.
I agree.
That's the best thing to do.
Except for if people stop committing crimes, then you're out of a job.
That's fine.
We
live in a better world.
We will hire you, and we'll find a spot.
Yes,
for you, yeah.
100%.
So quit this crap.
Yeah. All right. Havala, have fun at your concert next week. We'll talk to you next week ahead of time. So,
all right.
Thanks. It was great to have you back in the studios. 8:54, let's get the latest in the nerd world.